Welcome to the March 6th dual platform service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by Reverend Pam Phillips and Worship Associate Victoria Taylor. As we begin our month-long exploration of the theme, Renewing Faith, we'll consider how and why we might renew our faith in this congregation. Join us as we kick off our annual stewardship pledge drive to cultivate our community.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley. My name is Victoria Taylor, and I am happy to serve Rev Pam this morning. If you are here for the first time, we're glad you found us. You'll find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat or a paper card in the back of the room. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. If you have a joy or a sorrow you wish shared aloud later in the service, there are cards in the back as well as a link that our ushers will put in the chat. The ushers will collect the cards during our opening hymn. There are so many ways to participate in this congregation. We meet virtually and sometimes on the grounds and a few times in the building. So check out the calendar on our website for times, locations, Zoom links, and contact information. And thank you to all the volunteers who make all these activities possible.
As we prepare for worship, I just want to remind people of a few things. If you're here in the sanctuary, put your phone on worship mode, means turn off the sound so we don't get interrupted. If you're at home, you can control your microphone by turning it, clicking on the little microphone icon. Wait until after the service to turn that on so that you can talk with people during coffee hour. Also, in a moment, we're going to greet one another, and so you want to click on the little camera icon so that we can see you here in the sanctuary as we greet one another. And finally, that little box that says CC, click on that if you want to either hide the subtitles or if you want to make them larger or control them in some way. I also want to lift up a few announcements. Look at the newsletter and look at the emails that Lisa sends you this evening to find out some of the many activities that are going on. Chief among those are stewardship activities. Today is Stewardship Sunday, and for some people that is a new thing. We do a pledge drive, kind of like NPR, every year so that the board knows how much money we have in our budget so that we know what we can spend, and we're kicking that off today. So check out your emails and the website for the places to give and to donate, and we'll talk some more about it through the rest of the service. After the service today, we're having a special civil debate about the Legacy Affordable Housing Project. It's here in Blacksburg. Some of you have heard that it's gotten a little controversial. We are having a debate about this in the Braver Angels style, and that's not a debate to convince people that you are right and they are wrong. It is really a debate to share information, and it strives for learning and better understanding for all. So if you're interested at all in this project and in how we can discuss hard subjects in respectful and loving ways, then come to that debate at 11:30, either on Zoom or in this space. And also, we are in search of a new director of Lifespan Faith Development. The committee, the search committee, has put together a survey and really wants to know what you most want in our next new DLFD. So find the link for that survey in the newsletter and emails so that we can hear your thoughts. Speaking of Lifespan Faith Development, I'd like to invite Sarah Catlett up to tell us what the children are doing.
Good morning. This morning, the pre-K class will continue to learn about the third principle by reading the book, Exclamation Point, and talking about why it's okay to stand out. The K-2 class will also be continuing to learn about our third principle, reading the book Maria's Comet and making a comet of their own. And 3-5 will be talking about blessings of imperfection. And they'll learn about Korean pottery and use that as an inspiration to make their own clay pots. I'm also going to share with you that our resident leprechaun has came and left various clues around the grounds to lead you to his treasure. This will be set up through the 27th. Thank you so much.
I love it when we have scavenger hunts on the grounds because I get to see lots of families all over. So families of all ages. So even if you don't have little ones, come and enjoy the grounds. And as I said before, we have a habit, a tradition of greeting one another. So those of you who are on Zoom, if you would turn your cameras on, we're going to bring the Zoom gallery screen up on the screens here. And if you could put in the chat where you are worshiping from this morning. This morning we have hello from Roanoke and Christiansburg and Galax and Spokane and Pulaski, Ellet Valley, and it's apparently warmer in Ellet Valley, Falls Ridge and Radford and Galax again and Highland Park in Blacksburg and Pulaski. So are you waving? Everyone at home, wave to the people here in the room. Have we gone through all the screens? All right, now we have almost a full, what feels like a full house here this morning. So if you will, can we put it on the screen so people can see themselves too? So there's Jared, and we have a whole, I see some faces I have not seen in a long time. I think it's you, you're wearing a mask. We are so glad that you are back with us in person. We got tie-dye in the room. There we go. We have greeted one another. Now that's one way of creating sacred space, saying hello. Okay,
we're good. Chalice lighting is a ritual we practice each time we gather in this congregation and throughout our denomination. Marking the time as special and using the symbol of fire to sanctify our time together. Please join me in reading the words on the screen as Rev Pam lights our chalice here, and you at home light a chalice or a candle in your own home. We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service. Our opening words this morning are about chalice lighting, and they were read to me at a gathering here. We light the chalice at every gathering, and they hit so home I needed to read them with you today. They were written by Reverend Suzelle Lynch. Each time we light the chalice, we renew our commitment to our Unitarian Universalist faith. With the spark of a match, we make it new again, as fresh and surprising as the first day we encountered this spiritual community and realized we were home. We light this chalice for the renewal of our faith.
This morning, we'll be reading the whole covenant. Please join in reading the covenant written by members of this congregation, how we want to be with one another. We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. We will listen to one another respectfully, assume good intentions, use the power of our words with care, express gratitude, honor our differences, help one another, and welcome all. We will communicate directly, honestly, and compassionately. When we hurt one another, we will forgive, make amends, and reconnect. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
Amen. All right. Good morning. As you may have heard Pam say, today is Stewardship Sunday, and True Confessions, who, like me, doesn't really like coming to service on Stewardship Sunday. All right, I know that it's crucial that we financially support the UUC, and I know I'm going to pledge to support the work of this church, and I know that my pledge is probably much smaller than others of you, and for that I am very grateful. So why should we even have or come to this service? Kind of a throwaway, right? We know all that stuff. So those are my usual thoughts around this time of year. And then I saw that the theme of this year's stewardship drive is cultivating community. Those words caught my interest. The stewardship committee, by choosing those words, has elevated its mission. While one spiritual path feels personal, here at the UUCNRV, we do it in community. And it reminded me that each pledge contributes to something bigger than our personal concerns. I like community, but then there's that word cultivating. So often stewardship is about sustaining. Sustaining sounds like a lot of work. Sustaining feels like a repetitive chore. Sustain. But cultivating is an energetic endeavor. Cultivating is not actions or work. Cultivating is the care and keeping of growing things. Our congregation, it is a growing thing. It is alive and vibrant and growing. And this growth is easy to see in our continuing strong numbers of participation and in our facility improvements. But it's the care and keeping of the growth that is essential. Cultivating requires mindfulness and vigilance. Proper cultivation involves being able to see what is wanted and needed and then providing that. Think about a garden. Some days it needs watering, but some days it needs to be drained. Some days it needs to be fertilized. Other days you have to cull. Something different each day. Unless someone is paying attention, this life-sustaining work does not get done. Which is exactly why this, our church, our congregation, our community, remains so vibrant. Our leadership, our staff, our members, we are paying attention. We don't do the same thing each week, each month, each year because of a mandate. We do some similar things because of tradition, but all our actions are guided by our mission statement and our relationship to the UU principles and our relationship to this community. Reflect on how well our leadership team navigated the challenges presented by the pandemic. It was a bit bumpy at first, but we transitioned to all online services for over a year, and then to hybrid services. Our Lifespan Faith Development team successfully kept families engaged in the life of our community, navigating the pandemic restrictions with innovative programs like an online story time, a stuffy sleepover, and Zoom book groups. I participated in the Twilight Zone Lifespan Faith Development last winter, and it was a bright spot in a dark month. Even the men's breakfast and the auction were successfully transitioned to Zoom. People here continue to show up, to get involved, and to volunteer. Yesterday, I received an email from Akiko, our greeter captain, reporting who the 5 in-person and 3 online greeter volunteers were. That's 8 people. That's a lot of you to contribute each Sunday, to contribute to cultivating our community, because each of you saw what was wanted and needed. Thank you. Did anybody else notice George Lally's Facebook confession about he didn't know how to make coffee, but he saw it was wanted and needed, and he signed up to be on the coffee team? He stepped up. Each of us, like the song we just sang, have unique gifts that we bring. In this community is blessed to have gifts of gardeners and builders and cleaners and musicians, community leaders, social justice warriors, teachers, coffee servers, art curators, event organizers, all of that talent, all of that time. That's where the cultivating happens. And we need cash. It's not all we need, but it is part of what it takes to cultivate our beautiful community, our living and growing UUCNRV. So I get it, and I pledged early, in fact, and I came to service today with joy in my heart because I will do my part to cultivate and sustain our work here. Thank you.
So I have joy in my heart for the amazing group of people who helped us transition worship online, people like Victoria and the rest of the worship team and worship associates, and all of you who transitioned to Zoom too. It's been a learning curve for all of us.
One way we fulfill our mission as UUs is by collecting an offering. And every week, our congregation shares half of the offering with a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week's recipient in support of the people of Ukraine is Rezam Emergency Response, which is focused on purchasing medical supplies for critical situations like blood loss and other tactical medicine items. They have a large procurement team of volunteers that tracks down and purchases supplies, and a logistics team that gets them to Ukraine. They are coordinating with several partner organizations worldwide, as well as working with governments and embassies on humanitarian corridors. You may give online using the link in the chat or through the other ways listed on the screen. You will be able to give after the service as well. For those at UUC who would like to give cash or check, there is a basket in the back of the sanctuary. And thank you from the UUC and the people of Ukraine for your generosity. During the offering, we will enjoy Jared playing Spring Is Here by Rodgers and Hart, during which you are invited to light candles of hope and remembrance. Please remember to maintain distance between yourselves and others. For those of you online, you may write in the chat if you'd like a candle lit, and those will be read aloud after the offertory, and I will light the candles. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
So now, let's take a moment for quiet contemplation, meditation, and prayer. So wherever you are, do whatever it is that helps you to be fully present to the moment. Maybe take a breath. Soften your shoulders, soften your gaze. You close your eyes. Spirit of life. Spirit of love, please hold all who are suffering or in harm's way. Give them strength and courage as they face danger and despair. And let them know that they are not alone. Please help us find ways to support them as well. On this day of early spring, we gather in joy and thanksgiving for all the blessings of our lives. We are grateful for this day and the opportunity to gather together in this, our spiritual home. We're grateful for those who founded this fellowship and for all those who have cultivated this congregation ever since. For those who planted and watered so dreams could come true. And we are grateful for all those who have helped create a vision for our future, We are grateful for each other, for all those who support and accompany us on our spiritual journeys, for all the joys and sorrows we have shared, for the inspiration to become our very best selves. As we consider the blessings of our lives, let us recommit to nurture and cultivate this community with generosity of our time, our talents, and our treasure, so that those who have yet to join us and future generations can enjoy these same blessings. Let's take a moment to think of all that we are grateful for in this moment. Amen, and blessed be. We'll continue with a meditation in music. And this is a special piece. It's one I had never heard of before, and yet I know it in my bones. It's Spirit of Life, that Isabel Burney, beloved member of this congregation, somehow discovered three extra verses. I'm not sure how Carolyn McDade feels about extra verses to her song, but Jared and Natalie recorded this for Isabel's memorial service, for her celebration. So let's listen to all four verses of Spirit of Life.
Vision of hope.
It was lovely.
Thank you.
And now I'd like to introduce and invite Carol Kern to give us a reflection as our stewardship campaign committee chair.
Hey, everybody. A few weeks ago, Rev Pam gave a sermon on widening the circle, and among the many bits of wisdom in that sermon was the idea of stepping outside your comfort zone. After the service, I started talking to my husband, Jim, about how I should try to step out of my comfort zone, maybe take a watercolor class or something like that that I'd been wanting to try. Well, Jim kind of looked at me in amazement and said, Carol, what about your taking on chair of stewardship? Isn't that outside of your comfort zone? Oh yeah, big time. Fundraising, Excel sheets, I am the opposite of a financial and numbers person. I would perhaps be the worst person of all to be chair of stewardship. How could I possibly raise $357,000? However, I took a leap of faith and I said yes, and here I am standing before you today. Our theme, as you know, is cultivating community, and that got me thinking about trees growing in forest communities. I've decided that I'm a maple tree, and you are my forest home. So how did I get here? I think it all started when I was about 10 years old. My mom was our Girl Scout leader, and she took us camping, my first time ever. She divided us all into patrols. Some of us had to clean the outhouse, and the smell of pine saw on wood instantly takes me back to my childhood. We learned how to build a fire and cook our one-pot meals in a cast iron skillet. And the next morning, on a beautiful Sunday morning in the woods in Maryland, I was in the patrol in charge of the Scout Zone, which was the non-denominational Girl Scout ceremony. Now, at this point in my life, I'd never been in a church or even heard a sermon, having been raised by two agnostic, atheist, scientist parents. Well, as part of the Scout Zone, I led my rambunctious troopmates down a path in the woods until we got to a huge tree. Once we touched that tree, each girl had to immediately become silent and respectful and enter into a sacred space that was a clearing in the woods. I remember being so amazed that it actually worked. As each girl touched the bark of that tree, we all fell silent and respectfully went to stand in a circle where we recited some poems, we talked about our favorite part of the weekend, and we sang the Girl Scout song, Make New Friends. I stood there and I looked around the girls at my troop, and I felt such a feeling of belonging, of awe, of mystery, and especially as I tilted my head back and I looked up into the forest canopy above. It was my first inkling of my own spiritual journey, and you can see how trees have figured into it. Fast forward many years, and I was a vet student here at Virginia Tech, where I met and fell in love with an engineering grad student named Jim. Call this my sapling phase. We were planning a wedding in October outside by the duck pond on Virginia Tech campus, but we needed a bad weather option. You at this congregation told us that we could use your beautiful space for our wedding. At that time, our building looked much different, and because it was a cold, blustery day, we ended up being married in what is now Elarth Hall behind us. The first time we stepped foot in this building was on our wedding day. I arrived with my dad coming up the driveway in a carriage pulled by a beautiful gray draft horse named Beauty and married Jim 26 years ago. Then a few more years went by and I was pregnant with our daughter, Sarah. Jim and I had no idea how to be parents and we were searching for a religious community. Our little tree family needed a forest home. So we showed up here again and we were greeted by Isabel like so many of you. And we decided to join the book and or sign the book and join you all. A few years later, our son Jason joined our family, and the Lukes became our kids' adopted grandparents since we had no family here. Other UUC community members taught Sarah and Jason in religious education, or RE, were their mentors for coming of age, took them to the mountain, the UU camp in North Carolina, and encouraged them in young religious Unitarian Universalism, or YRUU, coffee houses. They both became camp counselors and peer advisors at the mountain and learned about leadership and so much else. Our kids literally grew up here, and you supported them and encouraged them and gave them a safe and confidential space to speak at YRUU check-ins. I want to thank all of you for the love and support, that you have given to our kids and that you continue to offer the kids of RE today. Thank you. Our saplings had a beautiful forest to support them. The forest continues to grow and prosper, and if we want to keep cultivating community, we need another big tree, a full-time director of religious education. I can't wait to see how RE can continue to grow and flourish and positively impact so many more kids and adults in the future with a full-time DRE. So now both our kids are in college, and I am working full-time as a vet in Radford. My job can be hard and heartbreaking. This week alone, I performed 3 euthanasias and had 2 more end-of-life conversations about people's pets. Pets give owners beautiful and uncomplicated, unconditional love, which matter a great deal to people. I spent so much time of my work life as a grief counselor, of which I had 0 hours of training in vet school. It is so hard to absorb so much sadness, but we all have to be the adult tree in the forest sometimes. When one of our patients die, we send money to the Arbor Day Foundation to plant a tree in Tahoe National Forest for that pet. The American Veterinary Medical Association is working hard on training us veterinarians as a profession to advocate for our own mental health. One of the ways, along with eating well, which vets are horrible at, by the way, and exercising, is having a supportive community and a spiritual home. The trees need a forest. And I have so much gratitude to all of you at UUC for being my forest, my spiritual home, and helping me so much with support and decompression from my professional life. So here we are in our forest, and it may seem like trees are pretty stationary, but our roots travel far and wide, and mine have gotten into a lot of different areas of soil here in our forest. Am I stretching the tree metaphor too much? Going out on a limb? That was Jim's joke, by the way. I've been board president twice, taught religious education, been a greeter, served on leadership development, and now I'm stewardship chair. All of this has helped me grow my branches and connect to this beloved community. When I accepted the position of stewardship chair, I knew that I wanted us to try something new. I realized that what we were needing and what we were missing from all the isolation and the pandemic was actually getting together and meeting each other and having some fun. So the stewardship activities plan was born. Yeah, we needed to remind each other to pledge, but more importantly, we needed to remind each other why we pledge. We have to cultivate community. And we on the stewardship committee are so excited to share some of our favorite things with you in a variety of small get-togethers. Well, yeah, you'll get a brief reminder about pledging, but a whole lot of just enjoying each other's company. Join me and hike a mountain, or sit around a campfire and listen to Jim play guitar. Join a cookie exchange or any of the other fun offerings. We'll be really sad, actually, if no one signs up. So come on out or Zoom one of the Zoom offerings and have some fun. This is us sending our little bits of love to all of you. Also, please pledge. Let's do this together and keep this blessed community, our forest home, strong. Thank you.
Let's do a more full-throated gratitude for Carol. So she sent me that the other day, and I read it, and I cried. And then I read it again yesterday, and I cried. I just love that that you're part of this forest. So I also want to say amen to let's have fun. Let's do this together and keep this blessed community strong. We are so blessed in so many ways, but today I'm feeling especially grateful for Carol and her leadership and for the rest of the stewardship committee. I mean, we're a third of the way and we just started. And I want to thank the committee for taking us all out of our comfort zone with a completely reimagined stewardship campaign. I mean, last year was amazing. Our chair, Andy Roberts, we got past our goal last year. Maybe we could do that this year too. and he stayed on the committee. And also Marianne Hansen and Lisa Ivanilo and Nancy Bodenhorn and Arthur Snoke have been working really hard to make this this pledge campaign come together. And I want to second Carol's exhortation that you all sign up for some fun. The activities are listed on the website, and there's a place where you can use the sign up genius, but I wanted you to have a chance today to see what's coming up. So if we can put on the screen and at home as well as here. So here we have some arts and crafts, mindful drawing and Danish paper ornaments. And the two Zoom events we have now, we might add some, the mindful drawing is really, it's with Nancy Norton, and she can have tons. Can we go back to the first one yet? The food and drink, raise a pint with the ministers, non-alcoholic too, cookie exchange, wine and snacks on the deck, and meet and greet at warm hearth. But I have to say the one that is most intriguing to me on this page is line dancing in the UUC parking lot. We have a huge parking lot. Just imagine, we're going to have music. It's going to be amazing. So as many of us who want to can join in on that. Okay, now let's look at the next slide. And you'll see there are two evening events. One is a fireside chat and one's a campfire and a concert, so you can go up to the campsite up at the top. And then lots outdoors. There's a bike ride on the Huckleberry Trail, bird watching. The grounds workday will have a workday where people can do work and then their kids can be playing and doing activities. And then all enjoy pizza after. A hike to Bald Knob with Carol, a hike to McDonald Hollow, touring our beehive and touring a garden. It's pretty amazing. And then the very first one is on the next slide. And this is going to be a family-friendly walk in Price Park with Brandy Lemon and her family and with me. And her dad is one of the driving forces behind this park. And he'll join us to talk to us about some of the history of the land, of the old homestead and the fort that were there. So it's the end of our street. This is the place where I go to pray. It's a beautiful little creek, Walls Branch, and then there's a trail that takes you down to Struble's Creek. So sign up. So we can go ahead and get off of the slides. And I just want to say that I also appreciate what Victoria had to say today, because I remember feeling a little uncomfortable on Stewardship Sunday when I first started attending a UU congregation. Especially when I was working as a library clerk and also paying off graduate school loans. And when I was in graduate school again, and I wasn't really making any money at all, I felt bad about not being able to pledge much. And later, when I had a really good teaching job, it felt so good to be able to be generous to the church that meant so much to me in Charlottesville. That was such a big part of my life. And then I started volunteering for the Stewardship Pledge Committee, and I was astonished by the generosity of people who had much less to give than I did. I remember especially the woman with a disability who worked in a sheltered workplace, who still managed to pledge $5 a week to the church. And she did work for the RE committee. She cut out pictures from magazines every week. And I gave her a ride to church pretty often, and some Sundays she would apologize for having to use her pledge money for groceries. That's when I realized that generosity comes in all kinds of sizes, and that every commitment to the congregation counts. I remember one of the mantras of the stewardship chair in Charlottesville. It was a play on the saying, "Give until it hurts," which, by the way, was first said by Mother Teresa. Who knew? I looked it up yesterday. Instead, their mantra was, give until it feels good. Until it feels good. And it does feel good. As my involvement in the congregation increased, so did my gratitude for the role it played in my life. And I was fortunate enough to be able to increase my giving. And I admit, when I went back to school, to seminary, I had less to give. But by then I understood that I could still be generous, generous for me. And since I've come to Blacksburg, my gratitude for this congregation, now I get to cry, it has continued to grow. We are so blessed to be together. And I've been able to be more generous. And like Victoria, we already pledged and we upped our pledge 10% from last year. And it feels good. Today we got to hear Carol's spiritual journey, starting in a sacred circle in the woods with her Girl Scout troop. I love that. Her arrival at UUC in a horse-drawn carriage. I'd love to see pictures of that. The welcome she felt as a young mother, greeted by none other than Isabel Burney, and the role this congregation has played in her children's upbringing and in her own spiritual growth. Instead of roots and wings, she has roots and branches. And how this congregation holds her and helps her through the most difficult parts of her work. How we are all her forest. So now I invite you to consider your own spiritual journey and the role this congregation has played in it. The ways it has cultivated your roots and your branches. Take a minute. Maybe look around at the people who make up your forest. And if you are here for the first time, look around at your new potential forest. Consider too how you can help us cultivate our community, not just for the people here, but for the people who have not yet found us. What gifts do you bring? And I'm not just talking about money, though that's important. And consider, what does generosity mean to you? How much do you want to give? How much do you need to give so that it will feel good? This month, we're talking about renewing faith. And today, as we kick off cultivating community, we're considering the faith we have in this congregation, the faith we have in each other, and about renewing our commitment to it. As Carol said, let's do this together. And keep this blessed community, our forest home, strong. And what better way to celebrate our community than to think about our Blue Boat home? Carol said this was her favorite hymn. She told me she first heard about it in Portland at the General Assembly in 2007. We were both there. But we didn't know each other then. And I love this song so much that I walked down the aisle to it when Jamie and I got married. So I'm gonna break the rules. Don't sing the words, but hum along as we listen to Blue Boat Home.
Still my dry land heart can say, port have I known. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home.
Look around again. Look at your ship's companions, all your kindred pilgrims. We extinguish this chalice, but not our gratitude for this community of faith. Not the fire of commitment that we take what we gain here out into the world to heal and help. Amen and blessed be.